The Grant and Danny radio program is brought to you by our good friends, the law firm of Condori and Murad. They can help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. 6 o'clock, 2 hours from now, Dietrich Wise, defensive lineman from the Commanders, who's at a very good camp, stopping the run. I really, really enjoyed my convo with him. Former Patriot, refers to Bill Belichick as Darth Vader. It's a funny interview. You'll want to hear that coming up at 6 o'clock. We are going to get to the blitz in just a second, but I don't want to make our very important guest wait on the line. On the Rude Guest Hotline, we've got our program director, Chris Kinard, on. CK, I know you're busy and you've got a lot going on today. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good, thank
you.
Very
well. So just know that I would not have bothered you if this wasn't one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life, okay? Are you ready?
I am very, I'm curious. What's going on here?
I am too.
So
what did Ryan do?
You would think. Chris Russell just came in studio to join us, so you know where this is going.
Oh,
okay.
Hello, CK.
By the way, what were you doing out there in the Navy? We just saw you out
just
the
window. Wandering around with nothing to do.
Right, exactly.
With my shoes off.
All right, so CK, AMAC, Russell's producer, just walks over and tells us that Russell has been not wearing shoes for some reason today. That's not the crazy part. The crazy part is he walked all the way to the kitchen and walked around in the kitchen in his socks.
It's a terrible decision. It's
where does that rank on the weird Chris Russell things that you've ever heard?
I mean, honestly, it's such a long list. It's pretty low. Because he's one of the weirdest people maybe in the world. Certainly the weirdest person I've ever met.
I think I was once ranked the weirdest person amongst the staff here.
He didn't think, by the way, Danny, this was in any way notable. The fact that at work, in the public setting, he's just tracking through the floors in his socks all the way to the kitchen.
Where were your shoes?
They were underneath my desk. My feet hurt!
Yeah.
Chris, why is that everyone else's problem?
It's not everyone else's problem. Everyone should just ignore what I do and not pay any attention to me and just let me do my job, CK.
I wonder why they can't ignore you.
But you're constantly seeking attention with weird behavior.
No, I'm not seeking anything. AMAC said I had foot juice. I didn't have any foot juice. My feet hurt. That's it. I was just trying to give them a little recovery time. Boss, it's hard slaving over hard rocks, unstable rocks at command land in Ashburn in 95 degree heat for 3 hours a day.
Now it's Josh Harris's fault.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Sure. So
you're going to lambast Josh Harris over this now.
Well, I didn't say that. I was just kind of agreeing with you.
I'm walking down to the practice field today. The Commanders, for people that don't know, have this brand new team president, Mark Klaus. Imagine like Jason Wright, but if he did everything correctly, right? So like this guy is just cutting promos, having like just making moves, right? And I'm walking by and I hear Russell asking if he could get shade for the media, like a shaded tent for us to stand in to watch practice. This guy's trying to cut a deal right now with DC for a new stadium, and Reaney's trying to get a Z-shade
for
the media.
I figure somebody was allowed to do bits other than you, so that's been my bit since I met Mark Klaus last Monday and had a nice conversation with him at the media happy hour. I said, Mark, he said, is there anything I can do for you guys midweek through last week? I said, yeah, Mark. I said, while you're doing nothing, you can erect a shade or a covering so that we can actually see what you guys are doing here, and so we're not so hot.
And can I get
and
a foot massage?
And we had fun. And yeah, can you rub my feet, please?
Now, it's not like you're wearing high heels to prom
bit.
Here, dude.
What a great bit that is! What a great bit. Yeah. Was he slapping his knee because it was so funny?
CK, relax. It was very funny. He laughed, and I've kept up the bit, just like when Tressway greets me. He always wishes me now a Merry Christmas, and I wish him a Merry Christmas because I hate Christmas Day games, and we shouldn't be playing on Christmas Day. So that's the bit that I have with him. You guys are just jealous that people like me. And by the way, Mark Klaus, who I've known for 1 week, as he was walking away, said, I'll see you later, Rooster.
Yeah, I get the sense, Mark Klaus. Listen to the radio.
He's a rooster, Mark. He's a rooster, Mark, which means he's a good man.
Well, if he sends you a gift card for like the athlete's foot, then we'll really know that he cares about you.
So, number one, never say foot juice again. Let's all agree to that.
That's not my term. That's AMAC.
That might be a new good nickname for him.
So we got to let CK go. But it seems to me like you don't think this is one of the weirdest things he's ever done. I think socks in the kitchen. Like, imagine if you walked in to get your lunch out of the fridge and Slashy's just sliding around in the kitchen,
just
on
shuffling
his socks
around
like he's a friggin' Tom Cruise.
You guys haven't seen what goes on in this building on the weekends and at night. I mean, you guys haven't seen.
That's why I wear my shoes everywhere.
Yeah.
Nothing weirder than when you do your podcast from 1 to 4 every day. Nothing weirder than during that time.
Thanks, CK.
Have you seen the episode of Seinfeld where George decides to do everything the opposite of what he would normally do?
Yes.
That's what you need to do in your life moving forward. Whatever
CK,
you think you should do, do the exact opposite moving forward.
CK, you can remove me from that podcast if you'd like. You have that power. You know that, right?
Are you daring him to... Is this
wow.
Like, this is Hogan going heel here.
Wow.
He's
just got weird.
He's just
really weird, guys. Remember doing the opposite, Chris? That's what you should do in this moment, probably.
Yeah.
The opposite of what you're doing right now.
Yeah. Let's see. So you were going to ask you were daring your boss to fire you. Don't do that. Do the opposite.
Okay.
But the best thing is he dared it on your show.
Right.
Instead of on his own show.
Right.
Which is, again, the genius of Chris Russell is daring his boss to fire him, but on somebody else's show so that they get the ratings credit for it.
You would have loved it. Me and Slashy today went to lunch at Manhattan Pizzeria, which was our old haunt from back when we were both on the beat. We used to go out there all the time. I haven't been there since Rene and I were breaking bread right after he stabbed everyone in the back and went over to 980.
I remember that. 6 days before training camp.
Yep. Right before training
what
camp.
What shoes were you wearing that day?
Yep.
Your stabbing shoes?
Yeah, fast shoes so you could run across the hall.
All of you guys suck. I'm just going to end this like that. How about that?
Yeah, but with shoes on. We do it with shoes on, though.
See you, foot juice.
Foot juice. God, I hope that doesn't stick. CK,
oh,
we know you're busy. Thank you,
CK. Appreciate you taking time.
Guys. All right.
Socks
see you, guys.
Okay. In
love
the
show.
Break area. In the kitchen.
Mm.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen,
where the
man.
Food is, man.
Well, there's no food on the floor.
Let's hope not.
Because you absorbed it with your socks?
Did you guys see the NBA player in the hotel? What he was up to? It's pretty gross.
Mm.
Let's hope Rini wasn't like rubbing his socks all over anything over there.
Oh, Grant.
You know what I'm talking
Grant.
About?
Grant.
Yeah.
Grant. Come on.
Come
Let's
on, Grant.
Get to the Beltway Blitz, shall we?
Blitz, for heaven's sakes.
Nate Davis, no good transition, so we'll just say he wears shoes and socks. Nate Davis has been covering training camp, the NFL, throughout the offseason. Nate, I want to go to Steelers camp for a moment. We talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers before he got there. They feel like they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Do you agree that they're a legitimate contender?
I mean, Grant, and thanks for having me on. It feels like Friday instead of Monday listening to you guys today. But I mean, that's what you say in July. I mean, otherwise what's the point of showing up when you got a team with that much talent? Do I think they're a Super Bowl contender? I mean, I think a lot would have to go right. Not only, internally with, the transition to Aaron Rodgers, but I think, things would have to go right, around them in terms of their division and obviously elsewhere in the AFC. I guess maybe, but to me, it's probably a wildly successful season if the Steelers make it to the divisional round of the playoffs, which they haven't done in, I think going on 9 years. So, that sounds to me like boilerplate summer optimism. And I don't know that we're really going to see them get that far unless a lot of things break in their direction.
Nate, the Bucs are pretty formidable. I like that roster a lot. This Baker Mayfield sort of, whatever stop he's on, renaissance seems pretty real. But this is three straight years of a new offensive coordinator. I know it's all relatively similar stuff, but at a certain point, does his luck kind of run out there and maybe he regresses some? Or do you like the Bucs?
I still like the Bucks better than anybody else in the NFC South. I will say, Danny, kind of looking. I mean, some people want to tell you the Bucks are underrated because they've won the division 4 years running and the Super Bowl before that. If you look at the last 3 years, I mean, they've won that division by an average of a game. I'm a little concerned by how are they going to look early in the season without Tristan Wirfs and what kind of impact does that have? Because they're going to be going up with those really good defenses and some really good pass rushers. I still think they're probably the cream of the crop in that division. Do I expect them to make a serious Super Bowl push? Probably not. That's the Baker Mayfield question. Good for him. The guy's really done a nice job relaunching his career. Like you said, hasn't had the benefit of a lot of continuity in terms of coaching throughout his career. But I can see another division title in their future. I'm not sure it's going to be more than another 9 or 10 win season and maybe one and done in the playoffs, but they're a solid team. And if Tristan Wirfs makes a drastic recovery, you know, maybe they are a team that wins a playoff game and goes a little deeper than I think.
Hey, what do you make of this Christian Wilkins fallout with the Raiders? Initially, everyone was blown away by them getting rid of him over rehab disagreements. Now Adam Schefter's reporting that a playful kiss between him on the forehead of a teammate was this big problem, and the teammate got angry, and it led to maybe the oustering. Like, what is going on?
I mean, I don't want to speculate on the particular incident that got Adam Schefter reported today, but you know, clearly it's one of those where there's smoke, there's fire situations. You know, this isn't a guy that Pete Carroll and John Spytek brought in. You know, Christian has a unique, playful personality. But, you know, I could see where if it became kind of an oil and water type of deal with the new regime, and given the other stuff going on with his foot and the divergent opinions on how to handle it, you know, I think they just decided to cut their losses. And not only that, obviously, that they're trying to recoup their losses. But, you know, in terms of what we heard today from ESPN, nothing to add to that one.
Yeah, speaking of cutting their losses, the Titans parted company with Treylon Burks. I'm old enough to remember when it didn't matter. They traded A.J. Brown away. They found the heir apparent. My goodness, has that not worked?
No, it has not. But, you know, I'm almost surprised he lasted, you know, as long there as he did. You know, it was a guy that came into the league with potential and size and all the physical attributes you want to see, but clearly needed some polish. You know, I'm not sure that the things that have gone on in that organization have necessarily helped him get to the next part, but you know, yeah, like you said, Dan, he kind of came in under a dark cloud. Mike Vrabel said they weren't going to trade AJ Brown, and then they were compelled to, and then Mike Vrabel leaves, and you know, not a lot of functionality in that organization for a couple of years, but I'm sure that's a pick that the organization, you know, people that are there now would like to have back, even though they weren't the ones that made it.
Nate, we appreciate you, buddy. It is great having you on as always. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Nate.
You got it. That is the latest on the NFL. Let's localize the convo. David Harrison joins us now. You can check him out as one of the beat reporters over at SI for the Commanders. And I've been out at practice with David over the last several days. Danny, nobody's using AI better right now. He's like talking play-by-play into his recorder on every practice rep. And then he goes back and it translates everything for him onto the documents. And then he can sort it out by play. Like, show me what Jaden Daniels did. He is ahead of the time.
That's pretty cool.
David, you're like an AI savant.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's probably in the Asian gene somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, you're on it. I'm impressed. It's very good. The rest of us are like writing things down and trying to read our writing.
Trying to remember that play.
Who has stood out to you so far? Give me a couple of names of players that you think have had good camps.
Yeah, there's a few, right? But I think Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the running back, obviously is one who's getting a lot of love, and I know the fans were really excited about him, you know, after he was drafted, and we've all kind of been keeping an eye on him. And I think he's just as much as he can at this phase of the offseason or the preseason, you know, without having full blown competition out there and everything. I think he's done everything you could ask him to do, and even, you know, one day of pads showed some power and showed some willingness to really just kind of hit the hole and hit the line, and then, you know, find a way to get through. And you know, one rep got real skinny. I mean, he popped out the hole. And I didn't realize there was a gap there for him to pop through, to be honest with you. And then another one, I saw Eddie Golden. Oh, I'm butchering his name, but a free agent who's been brought in to plug the holes and stop the run. And he's holding on for dear life to the rookie's jersey, and the rookie's just kind of pulling him along like a weighted sled. And that was just really impressive lower body strength from Ja'Cory.
Any chance that he leads the team in carries this year?
I don't think so. I mean, I've heard some people say that they think he might, you know, he's got a chance to be the starter by the time the end of the year comes and all that. And I know a lot of people are kind of, it feels a lot like when Brian Robinson, you know, came into the league and third round pick, and by the end of training camp, he was a starting running back. I just think that with the way this team wants to run, and with, you know, what Brian has kind of already done, and Austin Ekeler is an established vet, while the story of, you know, true competition across the board is certainly there, I just think that, you know, some people kind of start a little bit ahead of the curve, and I think Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler have enough of a head start that they're going to be the primary duo entering the year. Now, of course, you know, things can happen, and then people go out and things like that, but I think it would take a pretty amazing preseason for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt to be able to kind of climb the depth chart enough to do something like that without an injury happening in front of him.
David Harrison with us, SI covering the Commanders. What do you make of Terry's 2 days holding in now since showing up? He goes down. He signs a lot of autograph. He's done like walk and talk, quick answers with the media on his way back into the building. I mean, he was way less of a distraction clearly before he showed up. Do you think this is going to be a daily routine where he's very visible? And how long until that starts wearing on Commander's brass?
I mean, I think that, you know, Terry's always wanted to reach out to fans, and Terry's always wanted to kind of emulate some of his favorite players, right? He's told the stories all the time of himself being a kid and going and seeing players and getting autographs and how cool that was and everything else. So he's always wanted to be that type of a pro. So I think, you know, if there's fans there, then yeah, I think that's going to be a continuing trend. If there's not fans there, I would probably expect that, you know, we probably wouldn't see him out there. I think that's really what it's all about, is going out there to see the fans. And, you know, look, if there's a hidden benefit to people talking about him being out there more and more fans, you know, trying to put pressure on the front office to get a deal done, then, you know, certainly him and his agent will appreciate that. But I think throughout this entire thing, I don't think, you know, Adam Peters, any type of pressure that even us or, you know, the fans are trying to put on him is really going to be felt in the front office, because I don't think Josh Harris is putting any pressure or putting, you know, a whole lot of, you know, weight into what we all think they should do. I think that Josh has enough pro sports experience as an owner to understand kind of how these things go, and he's going to let Adam do his job. So I don't necessarily think it really I think they would probably rather the comments not be made, right? Like, go out there and sign the autographs and absolutely interact with the fans. You know, the team has done a good job of continuing to say, we love Terry, we want him here, and all these things, and that's part of the reason everybody loves him. So that I don't think they have any issue with. I think, you know, but the comments of, you know, my beef isn't with the fans. And, well, if you're saying your beef isn't with somebody, then it means you have beef with someone. And I think they'd rather not have those comments out there in the public.
David, thank you. David, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, brother. This is David Harrison, and that is your Beltway Blitz. Terry McLaurin continuing to hold in. A wide receiver his age, Cortland Sutton, gets $23 million per year from the Broncos earlier today. Adam Schefter this afternoon was on ESPN and suggested McLaurin and his agent are asking for well more than what DK Metcalf got, which was $32.5 million per year. So that's a $10 million gap between a less productive, less durable player, albeit, but a guy his age who got 23, and what McLaurin might be asking for. How long can he be holding in, signing the autographs, doing a little bit of media here and there, but not practicing before there is a tide that turns as we get closer to the season? And fans that are mostly on his side right now, maybe that support dwindles, and maybe they cross over toward the team side of things. I want to get into that next with Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan, a Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary, Ben Strober production today. Thank you for listening to the program. We will be with you until 6:30 in 2 hours. I do want to get into the possibility of the Nats trading Mackenzie Gore at some point. That is a little passion, pet project of mine. Talked about a lot of Nats trade rumors, Mackenzie Gore sweepstakes, and others on the new Bustin' Loose baseball pod that dropped. You can listen to that when we are done. But we'll get into that during this show as well today. Terry McLaurin is story number one, and there's developments. So we've got to break those down with the Cortland Sutton contract today and him getting $23 million a year. But here's what I wanted to pivot to, and here's the question I want to pose to people at 800-636-1067 on the listener lines, Danny. I believe that Terry is absolutely winning the court of public opinion right now.
No doubt.
And he gets a massive head start. He's favored by 19 points or whatever going in.
Yeah.
Because it's the player against the team. And most of the time, fans don't have Adam Peters' jersey. They don't have Josh Harris's jersey. You know, they're not getting random Commanders gear if it's the same price next to a McLaurin kit, right? They want the Terry McLaurin jersey because he's their favorite player. And so, as long as you don't screw it up, you're probably going to get fan support, and he has not, with the work that he's put in and all the things he's done over the years. But how long does he get the benefit of the doubt and the fan backing? Does that go in perpetuity? No matter however long he holds out or holds in, however long he's not on the practice field, that he just keeps walking down, signing some autographs, doing the occasional Q&A where he goes, Yeah, we'll see what happens. No real progress yet. Nothing to report. In a week, we're still on his side. No problem. In 2 weeks, we're still on his side. No problem. What about in 3 weeks? What about in a month? What about when now preseason games have been played? What about the start of the regular season? I would imagine there's got to be a point where something shifts.
Yeah, this is what I've been kind of bringing up periodically for the last couple of weeks. Right now, I am very much in favor of every player in the league. I mean this. Every player in the league trying to get what you can get. I get that. There, you don't have guaranteed money. Your CBA is different than the other sports. This is a violent 100% injury rate sport. I mean, my friend from high school, Pat Washington, played in the league for a few seasons as a fullback. And as soon as the team he played for could fill his role more cheaply, they said, thanks, goodbye. We'll get rid of you before you end up having to cost us on the back end with a pension. I've seen guys spit up and shoot out. Like, that is a thing. So I understand and respect guys trying to get as much as they can. Do that. There's going to be a time where I'm going to look at my watch and go, okay, man, you made your point. You're under contract for this year. You're now ruining my thing. You're now having a detrimental effect on the football season, the football team that I care about. I will root for this team when you're gone. I need you now to come back and play football. Again, you made your point. We're not there yet. There will be a time when that happens, though, for me.
With each autograph, though, with each individual interaction.
Buying himself some more time,
with
maybe.
Each picture. Yeah. I mean, there is some politicking going on. And I really don't mean this to say that he's doing that on purpose or it's nefarious or it's calculated. I don't think it is with him. But I have watched him sign hundreds of autographs the last few days. You know who I don't think is going to be calling in to say, get your butt on the practice field and play because the team's right and you're wrong? The person who's got their picture with him on the background of their phone right now from yesterday. You know, the person who just got their football sign from Terry McLaurin. I think you can further engender yourself to the fan base and buy some goodwill, and I think he's successfully and effectively going to do that if he continues to sign all the autographs every single day after practice. And it's the work that he's put in for years in that regard. We know who this guy is. We know what he's about. We've seen him act like the ultimate professional, and he signed those autographs every single day for years and years and years, and he's handled himself in the media so well. Like, none of that is new because he wants a contract. But I just think there will be a turning point. I think that as soon as it starts to really negatively affect the team, like, here's how I'm going to do it. We'll have these fun little games sometimes where you go, how much money would you need to do that?
Uh-huh.
And you'll say to me, like, what about $100? And I'll say, definitely. Like, but you wouldn't do it for 75.
Yeah, I was like, you would do it for 83.
But so you work back from the number.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to work back from, it is obvious if he's not there in week one, fans will turn on him. If he's not there, I think the week that they start preparing for the regular season, fans will be angry. Not everybody, but you're going to start to see cracks, especially when you hear things come out like today, where Schefter says he wants considerably more than DK Metcalf got. Metcalf, same draft year.
Uh-huh.
Similarly productive player, younger. Now, I do think he's had a better career than Metcalf and probably should make a little more money if they're the same age, but they're not. So it takes one report, too. It takes one time hearing, right. McLaurin's asking for $36 million. I think that would change it. If we found out, because he said considerably more than 32 and change.
Uh-huh.
Well, what does that mean? I guess 500,000 could be considerably more. That's a lot for me. Same if it's here, 33 yeah. million, that's an okay ask, I think. 35 million is insane. That's what Justin Jefferson makes. That's ridiculous. You shouldn't be making $35
million. Right.
$37, $39, $40 million. Like, if I'm talking to the agent, I would say to him, hey, there's no way you guys are asking for $40 million. You're not trying to reset the market. And remember, McLaurin has said point blank, I'm not trying to reset the market. He's made that very clear in multiple press conferences now. Mm-hmm. When he's spoken, he is not trying to reset the market. Well, if that's true, then it means he's in the 33, 33.5 range probably, which is not what Schefter said today. So, he didn't get that, I don't think, from McLaurin and his agent. But the team hasn't said anything publicly either.
So there you have it, right? So, yeah, the inescapable truth of the way that this CBA is, and I know I sound like a broken record, and I'm sure I've annoyed everybody, but there isn't that much recourse for players. You can do what he's doing right now. It's within the rules. You can pretend to have an ankle injury. We can, you know, you can go to every film session. You can go to every meeting and then be like, oh, I can't, my ankle skip when it's time to go out and actually practice. We could do this charade for a little while. At a certain point, football season is here, the one you're under contract for. Regardless of your future status, you owe us, football team, football fans, a season. We all agreed to that first one in good faith. We can't come to terms on this new one. I'm sorry about that. But you owe us for this year. I'm not there, and I've got weeks before I get there. But if this continues, I will get there. So I think that's kind of at the back of my mind with all these sorts of discussions, and I think the team knows that. They're willing to take some short-term lumps in the court of public opinion, and they are right now. The team's getting beat up a little bit, right? The org getting beat up a little bit because Terry is so popular. I think that's normal.
They've really dealt with controversy. Yeah,
and I think that's normal. Eventually, though, it's like, okay, dude, Jane Daniels is special. We got something good going here. Everybody loves everybody, and you're kind of gumming up the works.
I give them a lot of credit for how they've handled this publicly, for the record.
Me too.
By high-roading this thing to the highest order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there has been no negotiating. When Peter spoke, it was all positive. When Dan Quinn has spoken, it's all been positive. You know, they have not taken the bait, so to speak, when McLaurin kind of challenged them on some things publicly. Now, I do think that they don't sometimes do a good enough job getting their word out there to just educate the media, to then educate the fans on how they're thinking about things and what they're doing. And I've thought that all of last year as well. That's not a problem when you're winning. It's not a problem when things are going well. But they have had no interest in really, it's not even leaking as much as explaining their thinking. And I get the sense they're not doing that right now either. Everything coming out on this is basically from the player side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is an example of where they could do themselves some good if they actually got their word out there. How do you do that? You leak it to Schefter. And it's not, people hear leak and it's some terrible thing. No, but there is just an explanation of why you're doing what you're doing that sometimes educates your fan base and allows them to see things through the lens that you're looking through.
Because right now, one side of the story is coming out. You ever had that with a couple that's not doing so hot, and you hear about how terrible the spouse is, and that's all you hear?
And their philosophy, and 99% of the time, I think this is the right way to do it, put your eyes on the ground, you know, your nose down to the grindstone, and just work and get the job done. And I think that that's smart. But this is one of those times where it does backfire a little bit if somebody's telling their side and you're not in any way educating us on why you see it your way. Because I see Terry McLaurin not being paid market value after a run with this team where he's deserving of a payday and money. And it makes you look worse. Greg's in Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's up, gents? I think that the next time he holds any sort of press conference expressing frustration will be kind of the time I lose my patience. I think you only have a couple more practices with fans out there. I think if he keeps giving you guys the day-by-day answer, that'll start to run thin. Then you have preseason games, so the story will shift to that highlight. And I think that as long as he just keeps it quiet from here on out, it's going to go under the radar a little bit. And I think the other thing that I'm really like people aren't realizing is you have Payne, Tunsil, Luvu, Biadasz, Armstrong, Lattimore all going into their lame duck years next year. And whether you think any of those guys are going to get an extension or not, they're going to leave behind roster holes. We know Ron left us nothing. We know this team is built on one-year deals all over the place. And I feel like people need to understand that we are threading a needle here, that Jaden microwaved this process. We brought in all these vents. We have a five-person draft class coming in next year. And they have to hold on this. They have to be careful. They can't pay the good guy tax everybody wants because we're in a really unique situation. And they're really trying to thread this needle to combine everything at one time. So I love Terry. I just think that they got a hold. And I think that as long as they keep it quiet and hopefully they'll get to that $32-33 million deal, and then they have to stop it there.
Smart call.
Appreciate you, dude.
Yeah, I just don't think they're anywhere close to 32 or 33.
I don't get the sense they are either.
My hunch is if they were offering 32 or 33, they probably have gotten a deal done. Maybe not exactly at that number, but if they were there now, they'd be on the verge of a deal, which is very, very different than right now, where basically they're seemingly offering him, best we can tell, what he made last year without much of a raise after a career year in his last chance to get a bite at the apple. But it's a really, really smart phone call. 800-636-1067. I like the phrase he used, too. Like, my patience would run out.
That's what it is for me.
Fan-wise, what is your patience for this situation? And I know how this works, and this is the market, and I am pro-player in so many ways, generally. Mm-hmm. But he's made $52 million, and he's scheduled to make $20-plus million this year. And, you know, you're hoofing it out to the practice, and he's going, nah, I'm good. Like, how much longer, because he's Terry, and we love him, and he's our sweet prince, do you kind of play this game? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Training camp continuing in Ashburn. No Terry McLaurin. on the practice field. His holdout has become a hold-in. Each of the last couple days after practice, he's made his way down to the field. He has signed some autographs. He's kind of been around. Media's gathered around and walked off the practice field with him, and he gives short, quick, terse answers. But while a distraction, it hasn't really carried over into practice, and I give him credit for that. I don't know if that's an agreement he's got with the team, that they don't want him walking the sideline or coming out on the field.
Right.
Then you got fans chanting your name and pay him in the middle of a workout.
Sure, yeah, guys are trying to do some kind of drill, and it's Terry Chance. That ain't good.
I don't think that would even go over well with the players that are bleeding and sweating and going through their workouts on the field. But I don't think anything he's done is going to rub players the wrong way, per se, but I'm quite sure the front office will get irritated pretty quickly, and this is the bed that they've got to sleep in that they helped to make because there's been no deal done at this point. But the question for you guys is, how much patience do you have for this situation? Are you with Terry until the end? He deserves his money. As long as he holds out, you're pro Terry McLaurin. Or is there a line in the sand that you would draw where you go, you know what? I respect everything that you've done to get paid. But now this is about 2025, not beyond.
Yep.
Because this whole holdout is about 26 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
The 25 season's being prepared for right now. You have contract left that you have been paid well for this year by mm-hmm. this team, and you need to live up to your contract. There's got to be a point, I think, when a lot of fans start to think that way. When is that? Let's go to Reese in St. Mary's on Grant and Danny. Hello, Reese. How are you?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How y'all doing?
Hey, dude.
All right, I think I'm being picked up. Alfred Morris did it, being quiet. He didn't get paid.
You're breaking up real bad. I'm going to throw you on hold. Let's go to Mark, who's in Largo on G&D. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, guys. Look, I've talked to everybody about this for the last week and a half, and I had to wait to talk to you guys because I have an exclusive of what I think they should do.
Let's hear it.
I think they should trade Terry.
Whoa.
And I'm going to tell you why. I love Terry, and I hope he stayed here. But Adam Peters has totally screwed this up. Totally screwed this up, Danny. And I'm going to tell you why I say that, Danny. If you were me and Danny, if this was you, wouldn't you sign Terry McLaurin 6 months ago? I would have, because I would have saw the receiver market and how it's going to explode. Trade him to New England. See if you can get a first or a third, which I doubt, maybe a second and a fourth. But here's the thing. This doesn't let Adam Peters off the hook. Because now you got to turn around and get that same money you were going to give to Terry. You got to give it to Debo. Because you can't let both of them walk out of here after this year.
Mark, you think they're going to pay Debo next year if they don't pay Terry this year? He's going to be older then than McLaurin is now.
How old is Debo?
Debo Brent? Is 29. He's the same age as Terry.
Okay. But you could offer him the same amount for what he has. Because his stats don't live up to even DK Metcalf. So
right,
I understand,
right.
But he does do more. But this is going to be I'm telling you, with the players, this is going to be a bad scar on Adam Peters. Now, the media and the fans may think otherwise, but this is going to be a bad look. And I love Adam. I do. Yes, I love Adam Peters. I think he's a great GM. He just made a mistake.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Dude. Yeah, so it takes two to tango. We don't know what was offered when. We don't know if Mark could be right. If, let's say, the phone never dialed out Ashburn and nobody from the team reached out to the agent at all about signing Terry McLaurin at any point this offseason, right? Not knowing where the market was going to go. If that's the case, then yeah, but it also may not be incentivized for the agent and the player to go, sure, let's be the first ones in the queue to sign, just in case we sign for way less than the next guy does. So that we're now the baseline for other the players and with this kind of experience level and production. So anybody else that wants a contract, we can now be used in Garrett Wilson's negotiations, or we're used in DK Metcalf's negotiations. They don't want to do that. So, but that's the thing we don't know. We don't know who said what to whom when. But in general, if they were sitting on their hands, then maybe they let this thing screw up. To me, though, it's too late to trade him because I need help this year. Wow. If you can find a situation where there's another receiver coming back, maybe, but I don't think that sweet spot exists.
You're also not paying Debo, I don't think, if you're not willing to pay McLaurin. McLaurin has not missed a game in 4 years. Mm-hmm. He is the epitome of durability. Debo Samuel has done zippy in this organization. In other words, Terry, you can make the case, and I have many times, should overpay a little bit based on what he means to the outfit and what he means to the program and what he's done for you in some of your bleakest hours. Debo's services rendered were not even for you.
Right.
He's got no deposits in the bank, number one. McLaurin's got a lot. But on top of that, he misses time. He's an injury risk, even though when he plays and he doesn't miss time, he's banged up. So, yes, he's a better weapon at times. He's been an all-pro. Terry McLaurin has not. But he'll be a year older than Terry is right now trying to get paid. There's no chance that they give him what Terry's looking for. Now, might he sign at that point because the market's dictated based on a bunch of Sutton-like deals for $25 million a year and they want to give him, you know, $375 million with $50 million guaranteed? Maybe he'd take that. McLaurin clearly is not willing to take that. If Debo was, then yeah, perhaps. There's something to be said too for he's a Peters guy. Peters had him in San Francisco,
yep.
Brought him here. Terry McLaurin is not a Peters guy. Peters inherited Terry McLaurin. He just happened to be here when he got here. 800-636-1067 is the number. How much patience are fans going to have? Do you agree? I want to hit this too. Right now with the premise that McLaurin's kicking their butt in the court of public opinion.
100%.
Is that just because he's a player? Or is that because of how him and his agent are operating? It might just be that when you're a player taking on a team, you're going to win no matter what when you're as popular and fan-friendly as McLaurin. We'll get to that next on The Fan.